welcome to another episode of the Splitting Hairs podcast, presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated. In this episode, the A-Team brings in former Jackrabbit Alex Parker to discuss the upcoming championship game and touch on pregame festivities. Splitting Hairs podcasts are all presented by Drake's Place, Cottonwood Coffee, and are also sponsored by Dakota Iron Equipment, Shenanigans Pub, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. Now here's your hosts, Dallas and Matt.
And welcome back to the Splitting Hairs podcast. We're off to a roaring start here. We've been off a few weeks.
I guess I double-clicked it or something.
It wouldn't be us if the intro didn't get screwed up. That is exactly. On brand. We're good.
Yeah, it's all good. But we are happy to be back after a couple-week layoff. I know Chad and Dallas, you did a show last week, a fun show. If you haven't checked that out, it was kind of a season or review of the season up to this point, and it was pretty dang funny. I was in my office laughing like crazy. So
that was a good time. I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
Well, get good. ADD kids with one that's a CEO or something. At least he can try. And
just trying to keep it between the guardrails. You just need just tapping it back in one side to the other.
Yes, it was great. And we're joined tonight by a color commentator for the Jackrabbit Radio Network and Jackrabbit legend along the offensive line, Alex Parker. So, Alex, thanks for being here with us tonight.
Appreciate you guys having me. Looking forward to the conversation and getting ready for next weekend.
Perfect. Good. I mean, yeah, in a week we'll know. We will know in a week, fellas. Woof. All right. Before we dive in here, we got to thank our sponsors that have been with us all season here. Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro of Brookings. Again, you guys all know I'm a huge advocate of their breakfast. I love their omelets that are there. Some folks love those plate-sized pancakes. I believe they have a quiche also that's really popular. The chef gets to choose every day. But their coffee is also delicious, as I've mentioned before, too. So you stop in and get that next time you're in Brookings, or order it online, or stop at Walmart and pick it up if you're in Minnesota. And if you order it online, cottonwoodcoffee.com, you can use code JI22 for 10% off your order. Also, we got to thank Drake's Place up in Bowdell. Drake's obviously has all sorts of delicious sandwiches, the SDSU themed menu that just is delicious. You know, we've had it at tailgating before, and also all of the drinks that you could need. So next time you're heading out west, whether it's for hunting, to see family, to go to the river, whatever it may be, stop by Drake's in Bowdell. And with that, here we are. It is game week. Heck yeah. What do we know? Chad, what do you know?
I gotta add something to this. I had a coworker pick up some Cottonwood coffee that I'm gonna try and get down to Kyle down in Texas. And it's been sitting in my car, and my car has never smelled so good. Every time I get in, I'm like, oh man, this is just heaven. So you want your car to smell like heaven, get a couple pounds of that Cottonwood coffee and just leave it sit in there. You won't regret it.
Yeah. So with that, good segue, Chad, also to talk about getting coffee to Kyle in Texas, because as you may very well know, we're doing a tailgate before the game. Jackrabbit Illustrated is, we're going to be neighbors with JFPA. Alex will talk about that in just a little bit here, but because Cottonwood is helping sponsor, we said, sure, if you want to sell some coffee, give some coffee away at tailgating, heck yeah, why not? So if you're from out of the area and want to pick up some Cottonwood coffee, that'll be available there. And so we do need to run through and thank our sponsors really quick here who are helping put on this tailgate. And again, this is thank you to everyone that has donated and the sponsors for making it happen as well. Start with Dakota Iron, who you know is a sponsor of the show as well. John and his team dig deeper to help you find solutions there. Alex Holdsworth from Holdsworth Farms stepped in. He was second to help sponsor. Doesn't have anything to sell you, is what he told us, because he's a farmer right now. But he really wanted to make sure that everyone had a good time at tailgating, so he wanted to sponsor that. Cottonwood Coffee, as we mentioned before. Mike Schaefer's College Football Prospects. You know, if you're a senior, junior, want to get out there, get recognized, probably even younger, get a hold of Mike and he'll help you through this recruiting process, which we know can be kind of crazy these days. DeBoer Construction, Mark Hayes, he's done a ton of the dirt work around campus on some of the major buildings, buy some of his equipment at Dakota Iron. And so thank you, DeBoer Construction, for helping sponsor there. Jacobs Construction, Andy Jacobs, he jumped in and wanted to help out. His brother's Matt Jacobs, the strength coach. Finesse and Grind from former Jackrabbit Tolu Ogunrindi. Tolu's going to have some shirts that he's selling down at the tailgate as well. So that's going to be pretty cool.
New lid from him by then too. So
yeah, good. Blue Tide Car Wash, you know, the best car wash in town. Also opening up another one in Sioux Falls. So be on the lookout for that. Our friend of the pod, Rick Jensen, on that one. Again, Drake's Place stepped up. Ernst Capital Group, Chris Dugard stepped up. And, you know, any investing solutions there, stop by Ernst Capital Group and talk to Chris. Another farm stepped up here. Blumenrader Farms, Dion Blumenrader stepped up to help sponsor. Can't sell anything directly probably, but he wanted to be a part of this. Mensch Greenhouse, down in the Yankton area, Corey Mensch. So your greenhouse needs, be sure to stop in at Mensch Greenhouse down there. The Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, John Colley, I believe is his last name. Kubota, you know, those nice orange tractors, yard equipment.
Kubota.
Yes. Thank you.
There you go.
You know, so that's pretty great there. Thank you. Forrester Distributing out of Brookings. Josiah's Coffee House and Cafe down in Sioux Falls. That's great. Boyce Law Firm from Paul Cheddar. And then President Barry Dunn was our final tailgate sponsor. There's a whole list of donors that we're going to recognize at some point here. There's 62 of you that have contributed to the tailgate. 62. We joked a couple weeks ago, right, on this show when we first announced we were doing this tailgate that we had $500 at the time and we were going to do hot dogs guaranteed. That was our baseline, hot dogs. So now if you come tailgate with us, you'll get brisket, ribs,
caviar, you'll
have the chance, brisket, ribs,
Maine lobster, burgers,
baked Alaska.
Yes. So
bison tears beer.
Yeah, right. So we've got to take care of our listeners and readers. So be there at 10 o'clock. Okay. If you want to eat, that's when the food's going to get released. Be there at 10 o'clock and we'll do our best. We're hosting a tailgate though. We're not guaranteeing anything, but we're guaranteeing a fun time and a space where you can be with other Jackrabbits. There will also be beverages available served by bartenders there too. So
feel free to come set up by us too. More yeah. Jackrabbit fans in one location, the bigger the party.
Yes. Yep.
And Matt, how will people know where we're going to be?
Yes. Once we are set up, our guy is going to get in line at 7, I believe, 6:37, somewhere in there. And he's going to get in and try to find a spot again next to the JFPA as close as we can get. And we will take a picture. It'll be posted on Twitter and on Facebook, our exact location. We're going to be flying the Jackrabbit Illustrated flags. That's what we know right now. That's the best we can do.
Yeah, we can also drop a pin on Google Maps, give you an actual location lat sure. long. So
sounds good. Alex, what do you got planned for JFPA?
I think it, just like you guys, kind of been running crazy for the past, you know, 10 days since that Montana State game. But we've had a couple guys that have kind of taken the lead on different aspects to it. But like you guys said, trying to at least get Jackrabbits around Jackrabbits. And, you know, I've tried to field a lot of conversations and questions about, well, where's the tailgate? How's this going to work? Number one, you're going against NDSU. And we know that they can tailgate and they are going to be there as soon as possible. So it's going to be just trying to get to the lots, which I think we've kind of discussed a little bit, where it's kind of, is it that southwest corner, I think is kind of what we're looking at on the south side, kind of behind where our allotted seats would be, is kind of the hope, is kind of where the JFPA was kind of circling in at. Hopefully we can get that lined up. But, Kyle Harris has done a great job. He has a connection down there. So we're going to have a plan for about 200 to 250 people, bison burgers, some ribs, etc. So again, just like you guys, nothing's guaranteed unless you're there when the food's served. So hope to see everybody out there.
Nice. And that, you brought up a good point there about the fact that the ugly green team, they show out well. There's lots of people that have been there multiple times for them, unfortunately. They know what to do. They know what a tailgate. They follow their team very, very well. Don't assume that you can roll in and get a decent parking spot to tailgate at 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that. The lot's open, sorry, what time?
Eight o'clock.
So we're going to have folks in line at least by 7 at the absolute latest. I think maybe even earlier than that. You're going to need to get there, get lined up, and get ready to go. So we've got a map pulled up for those of you that happen to be watching this on YouTube or Facebook. So we're on the opposite side that we were on. The team is on the opposite sideline that they were on in the spring. That's the side we're going to attempt to tailgate. We're going to try to set up alongside the grass on that side of the stadium there.
About where it says Taste of Mardi Gras Foods.
Yep.
Just on that pin there.
And I believe that's over towards, if anybody has a middle school boy like I do, that's right about where Dude Perfect, their warehouse is right behind there. So we're real close to that.
Awesome. And we're getting some questions about the FCS Fans Nation group, which we're honored to be a part of and excited to see those guys. Yes, we hope to be close to them as well. There's some talk of collaborating. We know that they're going to have a similar booth set up, a photo booth business owned by Randy Long, where you can stop in and take pictures, you know, in your swag and stuff. So should be pretty fun. Should be a great time.
I think their intent is to be somewhere near us if possible. Yep.
So sorry to continue on the same line of thinking here. Dustin Helton, the Rev, put a comment up here, and he knows very, very well. Part of Fans Nation, also lives in Texas, has been many, many times. He says NDSU fans will be there in line at 5 a.m., and annually they open the gates early because their lines are so long. So please, let's not sleep on this here. Let's be ready. Let's get this done.
Agreed. You know, on the nights before, right, the Alumni Association event's happening, and last I looked, they still are selling tickets for that. I believe it's $22 for all you can eat, a whole hog barbecue, brisket, lots of sides, and then $55, I believe, is for all you can eat and drink. So that's going to be great. Head to the Alumni Association website and purchase your tickets. That you have to purchase a ticket ahead of time for that one. So, Garrett Meyer, thanks for the good reminder again. We put this out on social media yesterday or the day before. There's no cash, you know, for parking or in the stadium. You got to have your card, or a card of some sort. So, and Garrett doesn't have Venmo, so it's an issue.
calling you out, dude.
Yeah, calling you out, Garrett. All right, should we transition to the game?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, we don't have any game to review. We already did that. So let's talk just really quick again about Dakota Iron. They're our sponsors for our game preview. And Dakota Iron, again, has sold a lot of the heavy equipment that has been utilized to help do the dirt work on campus and the construction on campus of so many of our great buildings and facilities. And that's pretty incredible. But they also sell smaller equipment that you can use on your farm, ranch. Garrett, I thought you didn't. Okay, whatever. You can use it on your farm, ranch, whatever, to help feed, to help move snow. I know I could probably use a skid steer at some point to help me move snow because we've been pretty socked this winter up here in Appleton. So, all right, fellas, let's get into this game. Chad, you went back and watched. Dallas, did you get back and watch? I'm sorry.
No, I did not. I did not rewatch this week.
Okay. Alex, have you been able to rewatch?
I did not rewatch it. No.
So the part I got to rewatch was the bad part, so I'm not going to be a whole lot of help either.
Sure. No,
that's the importance about that. That's what we got to break down here.
Yeah. Okay. So, Alex, let's hear your initial impressions of this one.
So from the first game that they played, I think what I was most surprised at is, so let's back it up. In conversations with the coordinators, you know, each team has a plan going into the game, right? And most of the time, these other teams turn around and they do something totally different, right? So that first script of set of plays that Lujan's coming out with or Jimmy's coming out with, they typically have to go back in and try to readjust what's going on. And I think, you know, I think it's credit to SDSU where I thought that NDSU blitzed SDSU more than what SDSU was expecting in the first half. I think there was more blitzes that were coming, and I think that's kind of a sign of respect, I think, because normally NDSU is going to say, all right, we're going to put our four guys against your five offensive linemen. We'll control the line of scrimmage. But they kind of triggered a little bit more and started bringing some heat, trying to get to, you know, John O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting one-on-one matchup between him and Spencer Wagey, who I think is an outstanding defensive end. But, you know, that matchup right there. But they started bringing some extra players just to really try to rattle SDSU. So from the SDSU offensive standpoint, I think there was that extra blitz factor that Lujan had to kind of readjust for, and that offensive staff had to kind of reconfigure and figure out. On the other side of the ball, I think this has always been the case with NDSU, is they do a really good job rotating and changing their personnel, right? From 10 personnel, 11, 12, 13 even, right? They're the ones that, you know, typically have the fullbacks, the tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And being able to recognize that and adjust and go is another big key that I think happened in the first half, to where SDSU was maybe trying to play catch up on the transitions that they were doing and changing out their personnel. And so I think once they settled in and they kind of saw what the game plan was for NDSU, you could see SDSU really start to take off.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious, because I think everyone did see in that first matchup, John O'Brien struggled in the first half. You know, three false starts for sure. There were two others on the team, I believe five in that first half. Mm-hmm. How have you seen John O'Brien grow since that game, since that, maybe that first half? What have you seen from him? I'm curious with your, as an excellent offensive lineman, I'm curious for your perspective on this.
Number one, you can't really mimic or mirror what the Fargo Dome sounds like until you're in the Fargo Dome, right? I mean, that's number one. And so, you know, John O'Brien is an upperclassman, but until you can't hear the snap count, you feel like you're on an island. I still remember in the days that I played, even in the huddle, you couldn't hear the quarterback giving you, you know, the next play. You really couldn't even hear that. And you'd look to your left and your right, and you still couldn't hear the offensive lineman. So again, you are on an island. And I think just in the sense that he walked into, you know, the Fargo Dome and kind of had the Fargo Dome effect hit him, he was able to come back out of that and see that, you know, I thought it was a great comeback for him in the sense that he was able to settle down. He was able to kind of get his feeling back under him and build confidence. Because again, at the end of the game, he was making holes. I mean, he was moving guys around and he was settling the pocket from the right side.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. That's what I thought in the rewatch as well. Like he looked really good. And I think to Jordan Fink's point here, Jordan says, I feel the second half of the NDSU game in Fargo is when the O-line really started to play to their potential. Yeah, I think Chris, the mental strength performance coach, Chris Kroc, has talked about a conversation he had with John at halftime to try to figure out what was going on, in a very frank conversation, he said. He's shared that he spends a lot of time with the offensive line, and I think he has a weekly meeting with John O'Brien. And through that relationship he had already built so quickly, was able to get it kind of figured out, get John in a better spot. Because I think you're right, Alex. I think that Fargo Dome effect maybe got to him a little bit there right away.
Exactly. And and you can't mimic it until you're there. Again, the sidelines, even when you come to the sideline, you don't have a reprieve from the fans, right? Because they have about 5 feet of distance and you're looking straight up and the fans are sitting right behind you, whether it's the 65-year-old old lady that's yelling at you or heckling you to the 8-year-old kid. So it, you can't really escape it. You just got to embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've told this story a couple of times, but I actually got in trouble for laughing. I never beat North Dakota State, and I actually got in trouble. I laughed a little bit on the sideline. We were down by probably two to three scores. At one point in the Fargo Dome, there was a student behind our defensive coordinator, and as he was drawing something up, she was doing a voiceover of directions to get to McDonald's after the game, and I could not keep it together to save my life. Like, it's a well schooled fan base that understands how to get in your head. And they do that. I mean, from the little kids up to the grownups. So I wanted to bring it back, though. You talked about kind of the mental chess that goes into this and the adjustments that come off of playing a team twice in a year. And you have to look at, it isn't just like, well, we ran the ball, so we're going to run the ball again, and we pounded here. Like, it isn't like that, because you're obviously going to react and you're going to reinforce the areas that maybe you struggled at. So you look at maybe North Dakota State, some of the ways that they were able to have some success passing the ball. So, okay, what do you do there? Do you do that exact same thing again, or you do turn around and you show some of those same looks, but you actually throw some delayed screens or things like that in right behind the line of scrimmage? I mean, there's a lot of different ways to attack this. And then on the flip side, you've got Jimmy, who's got to look at not just say, okay, here's how they beat us. They have to think, okay, how are they going to take that next move and react to that? And then he has to be prepared too.
But you bring up a good point, though, real quick with that, though, on the offensive side, right? That NDSU's, you know, pinning their ears back and they're going. When you don't have that half a second to, you know the snap count, you're on equal playing footing, right? And when you're the guy that's getting just to run and go, I think on that side, it helps NDSU defensive line. And so, again, getting settled against a team like that is big. But, Dallas, you brought up a good point. You know, what are the adjustments? What's the chess match that's going to happen again? There's going to be a few players that are no longer on the NDSU football team had an impact in the last football game that was had. And nobody, again, until you go up against North Dakota State, and any of the defensive players for SDSU will tell you, A-gap power is different than normal, you know, C-gap power. And until you face that, you don't know what's going to hit you. So SDSU was prepared, right? These are brothers playing against each other that have done it for, you know, the past 15 years at the Division I level. So again, they know what they're going to do. It's just, what are the wrinkles that are going to come out this time around?
Yep. I mean, it's run blitzes. It's all the things. I mean, clearly you want to make Cam Miller throw the ball. I mean, that's not a secret. And then clearly the furry cows know that anyone's going to try to make him do that, but that's easier said than done. And then on the flip side, you know, we in the first game, I mean, we second half controlled the line of scrimmage. First half had some struggles. You know, controlled the time of possession well. So I think they're going to have to figure out how to rectify that, because that's obviously the game that they want to play. It's interesting to try to imagine that the back and forth and what their coordinators are trying to maybe schematically do and what they want to try to do differently this time.
Yep. I do want to touch on, Alex brought up the injuries, the number of injuries that NDSU is dealing with right now and players in the portal. So similar to the first time we played them, Noah Gindorf isn't going to play. They're All-American tight end. They lost their center, Jalen Sundell. He's out. But they have a great backup center. Mason Miller, offensive tackle. Their right tackle is out. Hunter Lupke is out with a shoulder injury. Dom Ganella hit the portal. Kobe Johnson hurt his finger against Incarnate Word, and if it's broken, who knows? Tamarick Williams against in the quarterfinals hurt his ankle, did not play in the semifinals. DJ Hart entered the portal. Raja Nelson, ankle foot, did not play against Incarnate Word. Cole Payton played for a play against Incarnate Word. And some players, though, that they're getting back. Cole Wisniewski, linebacker, did not play. Heck of a player, former safety, just really rangy. I really like Cole as a player. And then Kobe Johnson, he did not play in October, and we just talked about him. And I talked about him a little bit, too. Like, he got his chance against Incarnate Word to be a lead dog, and he looked really good. He's a heck of a player. So I don't think just because they've lost some of these other studs that we should really poo-poo them too much. That's
no,
for sure.
I said this in the last couple pods, but again, there are no bad players on that team. I mean, their depth is quality depth to the extent that, and God, I hate praising them. Makes me feel gross. it's essentially FBS type depth, because, you know, there's guys that turn down preferred walk-on offers at, you know, like Mac schools or whatever to play there to go and win because of the notoriety that they've had, the success, the winning. So again, that is an absolute next man up type program. I mean, they can just replace.
Yep. And thinking about their defensive line, right?
Hey, there we go.
Down.
She perfect. Got it.
Oh, I blew that one. Shoot.
That's right. I heard her creeping up behind me. She's been waiting to come in and say horns down.
and hey, you know, we focused a lot on the offensive side of the ball with all those injuries. On defense, the Mostart twins are questionable, right? Eli's missed the whole season, essentially, or since most of the season, with a broken leg. And then Will got hurt in the semifinals. And then Marcus Siegel left the program at corner. And he had a sack and had four tackles or so. So he played a big role against us, that Siegel kid did. So then I went back and looked, too. I didn't remember this. Chase Norblade and Cale Reeder didn't play in that game.
No, they
Tucker not. Kraft didn't play. Landon Wolf didn't play. Interesting. So,
and Isaiah Davis went out.
Yeah,
third quarter at some point with a bad shoulder and was in and out last half.
Yep.
Well, and Matt, you brought a good point too. The safety side too. So we're looking at the NDSU side, but SDSU Jacks. You know, our safeties have been dinged up all year. We've talked mm-hmm. about the Readers and everybody kind of with the shoulder injuries and whatever else is going on. But you're giving those guys 3 weeks, right? So you're going to mm-hmm. get hopefully full strength again at the safety position, which, again, what did SDSU want to do earlier this year? They wanted to have Stahlberg down at linebacker, but he's had to kind of play that hybrid role of mm-hmm. bouncing as needs come up. So now you're going to say, all right, Jack's going to have their full safety group back. You're going to be able to pull Stahlberg back into the box or just outside at that linebacker role. Mm-hmm. So again, you're bringing a new dynamic to what NDSU did not get to see against us last time. So again, both teams are going to get healthy, so this is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, we did our season recap already, so I don't want to drag too much into this, but I'm curious, Alex, could you have guessed in a million years how damn good that all of the linebacker safety hybrids that we had? I mean, the depth. My goodness. I mean, if you would have told me we would have had the injuries that we had, that Bach would go out. That, you know, at this point, you know, Jason Freeman would be the leading tackler on the team. I mean, what a godsend he was. It's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When you've heard Jimmy Rogers has always enjoyed those hybrid type of linebackers, right? Those, you can say the rangy guys that are maybe 6'4", but he also likes to bring those safeties that down. They don't have to be, you know, 230 pounds. And so with, you can cover from sideline to sideline. It's been great. But yeah, talking about guys stepping up, Tucker Large, right? To be honest, we had enough depth that he probably shouldn't have seen the field this year. But what has he done? He stepped up in a big way and has made a lot of good plays throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he's a nice young player. You know, you think, too, like, you know, Matt Durant, Kobe Huter, you know, the freshman from Colorado, Dante Johnson, right? Like, that safety group is loaded with young talent. And, you know, thinking about Norblade, I'm really excited. I hope that he's healed enough to get back on the field in his last game as a Jackrabbit, because when he's on the field, he's a playmaker. It's just he's been bitten by this injury bug throughout his career, and what a way to send him off, you know, his last game being in Frisco, helping the team win a national championship. So,
Alex, did you think that we would have ended up with this record at the end of the regular season and playoffs? I mean, what did you think we were going to get for? I know we're kind of going back into the past there, but right. I'm just curious your take on where you thought we were going to end up at the end of the Missouri Valley Conference season.
I thought trying to replace some of the players that we were going into the season with, it was going to be hard to get through October. And we remember October mm-hmm. having two games up in North Dakota. I mean, you had a stretch of, I think it was like five games that, you know, you had the rivalry game with USD, NDSU, UND. And in my mind, you know, it's like, well, if they can walk out of there with, you know, 3 out of 4, I think that's really positive. And I don't know where that would have come at. Just again, we all know it. It's nature, you know, it's human nature to slip up for a game, or again, travel is tough. But to get through October, and especially with all those injuries, again, it's been unbelievable to see the next man up mentality. You know, it's from Coach Stig, it's from the coaching staff, it's from Chris Kraft that's been around. I mean, it's the senior led group. I mean, you talk about guys like Mason McCormick and Mark Gronowski, and these guys that kind of just set the tone. And guys follow. And so I think that's what's unbelievable, is the fact that there's so many upperclassmen that have been there before now, right? It's been funny. I'm going to go off tangent here, but, you know, in the spring of 21, after the semifinal game, Stig gets on the headset with us and Tyler's talking to him, and he's just talking about, you know, I just start thinking about 2004 when we made that decision to go D1. And then there was a lot of firsts that happened, right? Getting the first win at Division I AA. Then you're getting the first conference championship with the Great West Conference. And then he said, but now we're getting to that point where we've set the expectation. We've been to the semifinals. This is our expectations to get here and to get to the national championship. Mm-hmm. And that has, you know, trickled down to all those players and the expectation. You know, we've always had a goal, but now it's the expectation. And so having the senior group, where, you know, really it starts with Taryn Christian's group about 4 or 5 years ago that got to that next point. And now the Jacks have just been holding steady in this kind of top four position. So it's all these guys that have been able to see it, right? And we talked about the reloading from NDSU. SDSU's in that position now, right? And it's, you're not falling off. You're just reloading and bringing back more guys. And it's credit to the coaches bringing in players, but it's also the players sticking around, right? I think the portal thing has been a crazy the past 2 years, but being able to keep those kind of guys around, the cornerstones, the pillars, those leaders, and being able to at least, you know, show the younger players and lead the younger players into what's going on. So I think credit to that whole side of the fact that it starts with the senior leadership and being able to establish the expectation is to be here.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point with how little, and maybe even not even appreciated, at least from what I've seen or some of the conversations I've had, for the minimal impact that the portal has had on us. And I get, you know, obviously everybody's excited. They're going to the national title game. But you look at even top-level FBS programs that were going to high-level bowl games, going to the playoffs, all of that, they still lost players. They had people that were curious that, you know, didn't know that they were going to see, you know, how much of the field they were going to see. So they had to go ahead and hit the portal prior so they could get in and get enrolled next semester too. I mean, it is absolutely unprecedented the way that Stig and that staff has kept folks around. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. And that it speaks volumes to the, again, the expectation, the tradition, just the family that they have built there. Very, very cool to see that.
Yep. And I think it's either McFeely with the Fargo Forum or Colpack, I'm not sure, asked a question in this week's press conference with both coaches about how the teams have been built through the you know, recruit and develop still. I think whoever it was called it like a antique or a dinosaur way of building a team now. And you really look at it, and it's pretty neat. The Jacks have Jason Freeman, John O'Brien, and Brian Williams as the three big ones that you'd recognize right away that have been contributors this year. And, you know, it's the right way, in my opinion, still to build a team.
Matt, yep. You're forgetting how many FBS transfers that Southern Illinois and Missouri State brought in. We have to be concerned about that. You need to be worried.
They're just going to come take over our subdivision and show us what football's all about.
Yep, exactly. So I think that's pretty neat. I know, you know, looking at this year's recruiting class already, you and I has one last season with Theo Day and has been going all in on the transfer portal. They brought in a couple corners again. They brought in a couple wide receivers again. And so you just look at how teams are building. But I think it sure is neat that the Jacks are dealing with it the way they've always done it and supplementing in the right way with Freeman and O'Brien and Williams. I don't know if the Jacks are here without John O'Brien, in all honesty. I mean,
huge pickup.
Bo Donald may be able to play that right tackle, but we don't know for sure. John O'Brien,
It can't be understated how much the Jason Freeman's made a difference on the defense. And it didn't sound like maybe even to start the year he was going to see the field. So that's it. What a stud.
Yeah. Yep.
And, hey, we got another transfer pickup this week, right? So maybe you can talk about that a little bit, Alex, if you know anything about that.
That's worth talking about.
Position. Yeah, Blake Peterson, yeah.
I haven't gotten much of the inside scoop. I do know that I do remember him out of high school, though. I do. I mean, I remember, you know, hearing about him. I didn't watch any film, of course, but seeing a kid get, you know, bigger scholarships, you start to follow that. But again, going back to that point, though, seeing Jason Freeman come in, the depth that has been built on the defense, and I think you guys have probably talked about that before, but I think that is what has, you know, elevated SDSU over the past few years, is just being able to build that depth. And you start seeing guys, I mean, you know, you've seen, you know, whether it's Cade Trevere or it was Reese Winkman, they've been dinged up, you know, throughout the year. Again, fighters, battlers, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, there's still injuries, linebacking position, the safety position. Again, but the depth that they've been able to build and the high quality players that keep coming in. But again, you're going back to same freshmen, right? And I remember when I played, you know, it used to be talked about that, you know, freshmen and sophomores really weren't going to touch the field at the linebacker position. But now you're starting to see kids, it doesn't matter if you're a senior or a freshman or a transfer, but they're just plug-and-play guys now. And so it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at. They're stepping in a big way. But on that transfer side, there's still needs, right? I mean, SDSU knew, looking at the offensive line, okay, we have players, but we're going to need to go get another guy, right? And John O'Brien was a unique story. I think, you know, he kind of, you know, put the pads aside or the helmet aside. I think he was going to be done with football and then had this opportunity. Or Jason Freeman, again, thinking that you're going to go get a Brian Williams out of Valdosta State, and then you're going to go find Jason Freeman out of NAIA football. I mean, and they've been contributors all year. So it's, again, then it goes to the NFL side and the portal side. So full circle to that, it's saying, if you're good enough, they'll find you, right? I mean, whether that's for the NFL or you're a high school football player, coaches are going to find you. There's Huddle nowadays. There's these scouts that are, you know, scavenging every college and university, that if you're good enough, Tucker Kraft from small town South Dakota can play at his hometown college school, and he can still be a first, second, third round draft pick.
Yep.
No, that is such a sorry, I want to chime in here. That's such a good point. You talk about Freeman, you talk about Williams. Like those, they came in a different way, but those are the sorts of guys that do well for us. When you look at any recruiting class, we've kind of joked about this. When we see guys with three stars attached to their name, you know, those aren't the ones I'm paying attention to. Who are the ones that end up excelling in the South Dakota State program? It's guys that have, you know, 15 D2 offers, and we're the only FCS offer. There's so many of those. And then you Kraft, and obviously you look at, you know, Goddard was a walk-on, and there's so many examples like that. It's just the way that they've built this up, you know, as a family, and the way that they coach guys up, you know, that's who tends to succeed here. And actually, let me rewind one more point. I'm going to go back and talk about Peterson here real quick, because it was kind of a funny story. I didn't realize he really stands out, because he is bright blonde, like absolute bright blonde dude. And I saw that and it jumps out and I didn't think about it. And then one of my former teammates, Rodney Francois, who, by the way, he was one of the giant pictures on the back of Coughlin alumni. He was number 10, played outside linebacker. But he's like, is that Brandon Peterson's kid? I'm like, no, there's no way. And then I look at him, I'm like, sure as shit, it is. So I actually played with his dad for a year. I think he was a fifth or a sixth year senior when I was a freshman coming in. So if you saw the picture Blake posted, that he's coming home to play for the first coach he ever met or something like that, and he's got a very young looking Stig holding him, and that probably would have been right about when I was playing, is when he would have been born. So very cool. Can't wait to see him come in and add to the chain gang.
That picture's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Like, what a cool story.
And then it's funny because, like, I look at, like, I only think of Stig as he is now, but I saw the picture. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the guy I played for. It looks just like him.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get Peterson. We'll talk more about him when I talk to Bobbitt for the recruiting special in end of January. But he's a kid I'm excited about. He's big. He's physical. You watch his tape at Iowa State, and he was productive down there. So that's for a future episode. But still an exciting news last week that broke for us. So
sorry to derail it a bit.
No, Jordan Fink has a question for Alex. What are your thoughts on Gronowski's leadership and just moxie? He just seems like a guy who gets in the huddle and says, we aren't losing this game. And everyone just believes.
Right. It's a guy that wills it through himself. Right. I mean, he's the guy, we've seen it, right. The quarterback run, he's not taking a knee. He's not sliding. Right. And I think, you know, Dallas, even when you play, when you got to see a guy that typically would slide or should slide and going right through a linebacker or going through a safety, that re-energizes you. And that just shows you, you know, he's willing to do what's necessary. And again, I had we had a teammate back when I played and, you know, took a knee at the 2 yard line. Right. And it kind of just deflates the play or the drive that happens. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, deflates it. But when you see a guy like Mark Gronowski get out there, and it doesn't matter if it's the biggest guy on the other side of the line or not, he's going to try to go through it. But agreed. I mean, he has this moxie that says we're going to figure out a way to do it. And he's been outstanding. I mean, whether it's in the run game, whether it's just, you know, I actually like seeing him kind of get out of the pocket a little bit and try to throw the ball. I always think I think he looks really good when he kind of gets his feet moving a little bit and can, you know, sail it or just keep it short and tight with some of those tight ends coming underneath. But again, it doesn't matter what you put in front of him. Mark just seems like a guy that's going to take it on full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm. He also seems like one of those guys that needs to get his first pop of the game to get his juices flowing, to really have his game going, you know. That's what we've said all year. It's like, once he gets that first hit, man, then he's on.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. So, you know, with that, Mark did not have a ton of success in October running the ball. 9 attempts, 25 yards, long of 14. So during the rewatch, they really bottled him up. They really had a good feel, NDSU did, for when he was going to be running a quarterback power or draw. So that's something that I'm kind of interested in. One thing that I wanted to bring up, as long as we're talking about the offense and just making things happen, the Jacks were really good in that game on third down. I believe they finished 7 for 13. And in the first half, they converted a couple of third and longs, especially in that touchdown drive. They were 8-plus yards on those third and longs. In my opinion, the Jacks have to be better on first and second down, They have to be more productive in those early downs and not put themselves in third and long. They can't count on NDSU to be that poor on third down again, because they just haven't been the rest of the season since that game. So we have to figure out a way to get plus yardage on those early downs, that's for sure.
Some of those first and second down struggles can be contributed on what? There's probably four drives in the first half where penalties, yep, you know, put them in that kind of shitty position where, I mean, you don't have any great plays, mm-hmm, you know, for first and 20, first and 25, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't, also, I mean, you don't see that happening. I mean, it's going to be a loud environment down there. And I'm curious, I don't know what we think the split's going to be for fans. 60-40, 70-30, something like that?
60-40, I'd say.
60-40. So, I mean, it's going to be loud. They'll be tuned, mm-hmm, up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I mean, going back to that point, I mean, when you start trying to throw the ball on first down, right, you know, we'll call it 50-50. You're either going to catch it or you're not.
Yeah. Yep.
Now you're at second and 10. You're behind the chains, right? You're not staying on cue. And both teams, SDSU and NDSU, what do, mm-hmm, they want to do? They want to get to second and 7. They want to get to second and 6. They want to be ahead of the chains and just stay on time, right? And so, yeah, fans like to see those, you know, first play of the game, whether either team, right? Are they going to come out and try to throw a shot? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to be more conservative and say, you know what, let's fall forward for 3 yards and let's just keep the ball? Because, again, time of possession is going to be a big piece in this game. But Dallas, you're right. I mean, what happens? We've had a lot of penalties. NDSU game, there was 5 penalties in the first half, not all on first down. But, again, limit the penalties and hopefully just have success on that first down, because your playbook widens out quite a bit more when you're staying on time and in possessions where you need to be.
It is. I mean, I like the idea of pounding the ball in the first half, keeping it fairly basic. I mean, you know, their D-line does not have the depth that they've had in years past. And obviously we saw that in the first game, and you've seen it in the second half of some of their other games too. You know, I joked the Incarnate Word game that they were down by 21 or something, and that's right where they want them, because we've seen that show over and over and over again out of the Fargo Dome before. But, I mean, I do think we can wear them down, you know, if we can just keep at them. You know, it worries me in this game if for some reason got down by 2 scores, I think I'd be concerned. Being down, even down by a score at halftime, I'd feel really, really good. Again, just the way that our lines match up.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say, though, their young pups on the defensive line are playing better. Men's, the defensive end that Mason stole the ball away from on that fumble recovery. The big D tackle, Dutenhofer, I think is his name. You know, he's playing better. Javier Derrett at defensive tackle is finally maybe reaching his potential at that position and really kind of being a playmaker at defensive tackle, which is weird to say. But he's someone that I really wanted in recruiting when we were looking at him, and he chose NDSU over us. And really is, in my opinion, been a disappointment until this season. But he's really, really playing well right now. And if you add in the Mostart twins back into that, I mean, that's a pretty good rotation of defensive tackles again, that maybe we haven't seen, you know, in a while for them, at least in the last 3 years or so. I think their D tackles have been down a bit. So that's an interesting thing to just watch, because we know Wagey's not coming out of the game, right? Like, there's no way he comes out unless his body is just broken. So, and he's going to fight to get back in there.
Well, and real quick to that Mark Gronowski point too, I know there's been a couple of comments coming out. You got to remember, it's a full season. They're not going to try to run him early in the season, right? You got to protect some of those assets you have sitting there, and that's the rotation they have at running back. That's, you know, a few different pieces on the offensive side and thinking. But when you get to the playoffs, you know, it's no hold bar now. I mean, let's open it up. We're going to take the best advantage that we can take. And at the end of the day, it's running a quarterback, whether it's SDSU or NDSU. You're adding an additional blocker, right? I mean, it's so much harder to defend that, and that's what, you know, in conversations with the defensive side of the coaches, the toughest thing to do. Holy Cross and Montana State, when you have running quarterbacks that you can fit in additional blockers. So, again, you've seen Mark slowly progress into running the ball more, but I think that's been part of the game plan all season.
Mm-hmm. You know, you bring up that it's either one of them at the end, you want to run the ball with the quarterback. It was funny, something I never thought of. We did a group podcast with the FCS Fans Nation group that we're a part of, and Matt Frazee was on there, who is their unbiased NDSU admin. And he brought up something that I had never thought of before, that a lot of their fans are not upset, but they gripe because basically Mark is the quarterback that they usually get. And I'd never looked at it that way because it feels great having him, and he is efficient, and he is 16 of 21 for 100, you know, 195 yards and two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. And I mean, just like clockwork, he puts up stats like that and doesn't, you know, and makes great decisions. And apparently that's kind of been behind the scenes, them griping of saying, damn it, that's our guy. That's the sort of stuff we do. And I never noticed that before.
Well, and Mark, you know, what is he does what the coach is asking him to do. He manages the game from the offensive standpoint, right? He's not trying to do more. He's got great weapons from the tight end position, the wide receivers, the running back. So again, he has a plethora of options to go to, but he's not trying to do too much, right? We haven't seen him really all year try to throw a ball into there where it shouldn't go, right? I mean, he's going through his reads, he's going through the progressions and just getting the ball out there to the playmakers. So, you know, you go back to his moxie, his leadership, you know what, he's just doing what he's asked to do, and he's doing it at a high level.
He is, but don't you get the feeling that if we got in a position where he had to throw for 375 and six touchdowns, he could do that too? I mean, he's clearly not just a game manager.
I think he could. I really do think he could, but they haven't needed to, right? And so it goes back to what's the need of that game. And again, he hasn't ran the ball as much as maybe 2 years ago, but I think that's part of the game plan. But we've seen it more in the Delaware game, all the way leading through with every other game in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, when you have that kind of weapons out there at any of those roles, I mean, whether you want to say it's the short, intermediate, or long passes, I mean, he's got guys everywhere. So again, just do what the play call is asking for. Don't try to do too much. You don't need to necessarily change it unless you see that, was it Holy Cross or Montana State that went to really wide defensive tackle look, and he comes up, taps the butt, and they just go and get 5-6 yards. You know, that's just him making a quick, you know, quick call. But other than that, he's stuck to what's needed to be done. He does his progressions, and when he needs to run, he's certainly successful with that.
Mm-hmm. And talking just a bit on the play call and just running the play that's called, let's maybe just touch on for a second how excellent Zach Luan has been in his first year as OC. Maybe you have some thoughts on that you'd like to share.
And you knew, I met him when he came in for his recruiting visit. I was just graduating. I was just, you know, getting done with the season, but you could just tell, I mean, he just had something about him, right? I mean, but again, SDSU's done a good job finding quarterbacks that are genuine, that are, you know, that are going to work hard. They're going to try to get things done. Luan is part of that. Austin Sumner, the Taron Christians, you go into Mark Gronowski. But Zach Luan, again, jumping into a role, you know, how did he came in being a video, I think like the video analyst right away, and then he jumps into the GA role, then he gets the running back position, quarterback. I mean, so the elevation and expectations have always been pushing him, and I think he's always risen to those expectations the program's had. And so again, Stig, you know, finds the right guys and keeps the right guys around, and so he's done a great job adjusting. I think we saw, you know, in conversations with him, like he'd said, maybe we over prepared a little bit or had too many pieces going into some of these games, you know, the Iowa game. Let's just keep it simple. And I think we've seen that now as he's just kind of simplified that offense and really it's just kept it at a high level.
While we're talking about Mark, I do want to transition to how different this team could be. So again, those of you that listen know I love recruiting, follow recruiting. The quarterback that we offered first was Cam Miller, and Cam Miller was teammates with AJ Coons. AJ Coons commits. I'm assuming that Cam Miller is going to commit, follow suit. They're high school teammates, best friends. Nope. Cam commits up at NDSU. How different would that be if that hadn't happened? Crazy. And I do want to talk about Cam Miller really quick because he played a great game against us in October, 17 for 22, two touchdowns. He was slinging the ball over the field, looking really comfortable. We did hold him on the ground pretty good. 8 rushes for 21 yards and a touchdown. His touchdown run was pretty nice. It was a 6 or 7 yard touchdown that he made a few guys miss. Looked good. And I know a lot of Jackrabbit fans, though, have really been focusing on his game against Incarnate Word and how poor he looked that game. 1 for 12, 5 yards, right? It's been brought up in the press conference. He's 0 for 3 versus, 15. No, whatever. It wasn't good. It was 1 for 12. Anyways.
Either way, it is in no way related to how he will play against us.
Right.
But he ran the ball all over him. And I think we'll see that a bit. Sorry.
What are you talking about? He had 8 rushes for 21 yards against us in October.
Never mind. Incarnate Word.
He was saying against Incarnate Word. Oh, actually, Incarnate Word. I have no idea what his rushing line was.
It was great. Yeah, thank you, Chad. So he's going to be somewhere in between, right? Like, he played his best game of the season against us. He played his worst game last week. I'm just really interested because his favorite target against us in October was is gone. DJ Hart, or not DJ. Yeah, DJ Hart. So I'm just really interested to see what happens with him.
Well, I think they're at their best when they can get their run game going. You know, they can get that play action. We saw it. I think Hunter Lipke had that. I think they did play action to him. He comes through the line of scrimmage. They throw it to him. He gets his 20-yard touchdown run. But that's where they're the most successful. And then you pull out Noah Gindorf's not in. Again, that's a high-caliber tight end that they like to kind of slip past guys, whether it's on the goal line or it's at the 50-yard line. They like that play action and to try to hit those tight ends or those running backs that are coming out. They don't necessarily have that as much as what they had in the past. So it'll be interesting, but that's their key. That's what they want to do is establish the run and then get to that play action pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm interested in this. Scott Russ asks, do you think NDSU will pull out the bag of tricks right away? Like they did earlier this season? I don't know. Tyler Roll can get kind of creative at times and have some tricky plays. So can we, not as much this year without Eck, but interesting.
You know, I think you talk about trick plays. I think every team has, you know, a bag of, you know, 10 of them that they've practiced, and they might practice them for 2 or 3 years, right? I think when Eck was here, one of them, he said that they'd been practicing since he walked in the door, and then it finally came out. I don't know which one it was. Obviously, he's had quite a few, but they have it for all those unique situations, and you only get to use it one time, right? So I'm assuming each team has a couple of those plays ready to go just in case.
Yeah, awesome. All right, this is a fun one. Again, from Jordan Fink. Also for Alex, how many Red Bulls or espressos does Tyler Merriam drink before a normal game? And how many more for the championship game? Just kidding. I love Tyler. One of the best.
I don't know if I've ever seen him drink a coffee, but I do know he likes his Mountain Dews and he likes his Coke product. So, again, he sticks to the pops more so, but he'll certainly be ready to go. But let's talk about Tyler, though. Let's talk about a guy that, you know, excellent at what he does in his trade, and the prep work he does and the professionalism he carries with it. And again, I was a guy 4 years ago when I got a random call from Tyler saying, hey, we got to go out to Youngstown, Ohio, and we need a color commentator. Can you join us? Sure. But being able to, you know, adapt with new guys like myself. And that year, I think we had myself, Cam Jones, Ryan McKnight, Mike Struck, who previously did it for many years. We all rotated in, but Tyler still being able to, you know, work seamlessly with anybody. I think it's unbelievable. So maybe it's because of me he's got to drink more Mountain Dew, but never seen him drink the Red Bull or a coffee.
Oh, actually, I'm curious. How did that work? Is that something that you'd expressed interest in, or how did your name come up?
No, so a unique relationship between Tyler and I is, my family's from Pierre. He's originally from Pierre. So I got to play sports when I was younger against teams he coached. And so knew him there and then went to SDSU and was a graduate assistant. So number one, my dad played football in the 80s and then he was in the athletic department in the 90s. And then I came to SDSU for football. And then right after that was a graduate assistant in the athletics development side, so fundraising. And so got to know Tyler throughout that. And then I made a transition out of the athletics department, but just randomly shot me a call. We've stayed in touch. You know, I stay close to the program, whether it's, you know, going to games or JFPA stuff. But anyways, yeah, just shot us a call. They needed some help because Mike Struck, his kids were getting older. And so shot me a call. We tried it for, I think I probably did 2 or 3 games. McKnight did 2 or 3 games. Cam tried it. Cam Jones said, I'll never do it again. And then Tyler came back the following year. And then I think that was the spring season. And he called me like 2 months before the February start time and say, hey, we're in a bind. I need somebody to help me with this. So I jumped in and I did it the full season for the spring season, and I did it for the full season last year.
Well, we're glad you did, man. You do a heck of a job, and yeah,
appreciate
keep it.
It
up. Keep it up.
Yeah, with McKnight, I'm just surprised we never got in trouble with the FCC or whatever it is, you know, that takes care of all the button bar stuff. So the swearing.
And it's the things that he comes up with. They had Bo Pelini in town, and Tyler will never forget this story. Is there was a flag that got thrown, and Ryan, the quick story with it was, Ryan says, you know, how far away do you think Bo Pelini is, Tyler? about 50 yards away. What do you say? He goes, well, doesn't his face look as red as the Youngstown helmet right now as he's yelling? You know, so Tyler's not used to that kind of conversation on air. But it's all fun.
Oh, that's good. Hey, and your buddy Thayer Trenhill has brought this up. Can you talk about the championship drive a little bit that JFPA is doing? Thanks, Thayer, for bringing this up.
Yep.
Yeah. So real quick with the JFPA. So the Jackrabbit, you know, Four Players Association, again, talking about McKnight, but let's credit McKnight because he had an idea about 4 or 5 years ago about other programs out there that are trying to help push and elevate and help coaching staffs really kind of move their program in the right direction, find needs. And so Ryan brought this idea up to me, you know, 4 years ago, the JFPA. And so it's been just a kind of a grassroots affair of trying to get people to donate a simple dollar amount, but all proceeds go back to football. Fast forward to the last spring football season with the championship, Thayer Trenhill brought up a really good idea about trying to re-engage people. And it was this championship drive. How can we try to, you know, use this championship run, you know, to help benefit the team as well, you know, maybe going into the following year. And so started trying to push that, and we were able to help, you know, generate quite a bit of money, and talk to Coach Stig about, you know, some needs in the program, finding what, you know, what's going to help, right? Whether that's, you know, you got to forget that during the spring season, the football program had to pay for the dorms for the kids, the players to stay in over spring breaks. In the summer, right, they have to figure out places for the kids to live. So we have to, you know, try to help get money towards them for that, you know, whether it's new camp video cameras, right, you know, how much film they watch, help with some of that stuff, or food, just in general, food to help get things going through times that maybe the dorms aren't open to eat. And so this past year, when we got the championship drive going, fundraised, and we were able to, you know, purchase some white helmets for the Jacks. So it's been fun to see them. I think they've had some success. I don't know if you guys have seen, but I think they've kept it on the winning track so far in those white helmets.
I heard that. I think they've done okay.
They've done pretty darn good. So going into this year, again, luckily we've had 2 weeks to kind of plan for that. And right now, so far, the championship drive's going awesome. There's been a lot of buy-in for it, and a lot of people have been supporting it. And, you know, again, like you guys talk about your sponsors and supporters for the tailgate. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that love SDSU football and love supporting, you know, SDSU in general. So, again, to all the sponsors, to all the people that have been, you know, donating and just wanting to be a part of it, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. If folks do want to donate, how can they to the championship drive?
So you can go on to – so on Twitter, we have the JFPA-SDSU. You can find our Twitter handle out there. But out there, we'll have links out there. We have a website for the JFPA, but you'll also see a couple different pieces throughout tweets that have gone out that you can certainly donate. But, again, checks, Venmo, it's, you know, it's just a free will donation, whether it's, you know, $5 or it's $500. It's, you know, McKnight and I've always had the idea, you know, 10 dimes make a dollar. And I think that's, you know, been the buy-in that we've had so far has just been getting people to back the Jacks.
And former players, whether you played one, if you were in fall camp once, or if you played for 6 years, doesn't matter. There is no reason you should not be a part of this. Everything goes to the program. Good way to stay connected. You know, cool event every year. I'm sure there's more stuff coming down the pipeline. Just make sure you get connected. Help these guys out. Like Alex said, I don't want to reiterate everything here over and over again, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. You know, we're not Alabama. There's a lot of different things that need to get paid for. It's not even all cool white helmets. Some of it is just the basic stuff with the hours that these guys get put in. We need to take care of them, help them out, join it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And Dallas, you brought up a good point. You know, it started with the Jackrabbit former player side of it all. And really, you know, the buy-in and the outreach from even other people, right? Down in Frisco, we had people that saw all the former players that were around. We had some flags out there. And, you know, alumni, friends, family, people, other outside of the football group of people started to donate in too. So, again, everybody, we appreciate it. We really do. But, again, all the money goes right back to SDSU and kind of the upper needs for what Coach Stig deems, you know, needed for the moment or in the future.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks, Alex, for sharing on that, the championship drive. I want to get your insight, too, on this question. With Goddard playing in the NFL and Tucker Kraft on his way, do you think SDSU is becoming tight end university of the FCS? And this is from a YouTube commenter, Guard. And we also have to add Zach Hines into that, too. He's going to be a preferred free agent, if not a late-round draft pick, if he stays in the draft this year. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, I think it certainly helps, right? I think whether it's that, I think even the linebacker position with Roseboom starting to get some, you know, recognition out there. But again, you know, you look at some of these, I always go back to, you know, they'll be able to find you, right? Whether you're getting recruited to go to college or you're going into the NFL. They will find you if you can play. And right now, SDSU has done a really good job, I think, building depth at that tight end position. But having a Goddard, I mean, you start looking at even, you know, Cam Jones had a really good career back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy that, you know, was probably the host, probably the host for Dallas Goedert when he came into SDSU. So again, you know, it's just kind of, you know, it creates a step-by-step process. But when you start getting those guys to hit that, look at NDSU, Carson Wentz going, then you get this Trey Lance mm-hmm. guy to come through there. I mean, you start seeing some of that success and kids want to follow that.
And Garrett Meyer says, remember Steve Heiden. Thank you for that, Garrett. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Colin Cochart played in the league you know, in between there, you know, and I have heard incredible things about the three freshman tight end that are on the roster this year. Every chance that I get, I kind of check in and just ask how are the freshmen looking? And those three have all been mentioned at various times for various reasons. So that's exciting. And the two tight ends that we have coming in this recruiting class, the one from Wisconsin won the Art Toon Award given to the top receiver or tight end in the state of Wisconsin. And so that's pretty awesome. He looks like a stud too. So the one out of Illinois, Antioch, Illinois, looks like a stud. So I'd agree, Guard. I think maybe tight end University of the FCS. I know that drives Brendan crazy when we do those tight end U or running back U, whatever. But if it's true, it's true. So,
but to that point, though, you know, how many teams, and I mention it every time I can, is how many teams do you see pull out 13 personnel, three tight ends out there on the field, right? I mean, so when you're at a limited position or offensive line, there's five guys out there, but tight end, some teams, you know, Oklahoma State really doesn't even play with the tight end. But then you have teams like SDSU, NDSU, that roll out 12 personnel, 13 personnel. So if you get a chance
to play. Oh, four personnel, let's go. We're getting invented. It's a thing.
Yep. Yep. You know, why wouldn't you go to a place that utilizes the tight end stuff? You know, it might be old school. It might be Coach Diggs' mindset. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's a value add to have those big guys out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the matchup problems they create. So, yeah. All right, Jesse Royston, what's the chances the Yankees come back? And do you think their decision is based on what happens on Sunday? We'll see. I'd say it's 50-50 at this point, the way it sounded in the press conference. I believe in the quarterfinals, Jaden would not say that it was his last game in Dana J. So, yeah, we'll see. Let's get Tucker involved early on Sunday. Yeah, right?
Let's make it weird. Give him some handoffs.
The crafty sneak. Some more of that. Okay. Oh, there's a framed Cochart jersey there. Cool. Ryan Drake says, if you ever get to Kunkel's Cafe in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, there's a framed Cochart jersey. Sweet.
That's up there in Wisconsin. That's a ways away.
Yeah. Roger. All right. Anything else, guys? Any last thoughts?
I don't think so.
Surprised Jim Poppin's not telling us to wrap it up.
That's true. I mean, and Brendan's not on here. I, unlike him, we can actually stick to a schedule.
Shoot. Oh, thank you. Jordan Fink. Jeez. We almost forgot this.
Coming in strong. Thanks, man.
Jordan, you're now promoted to podcast producer. Welcome to the team.
Okay, yeah. I'll see you guys later.
Predictions. Predictions. OD. All right. Score. I'm writing down, creating my chart here. Chad, who's your offensive player of the game?
Mark Gronowski. I think that's easy for me.
Okay. Dallas?
I don't like giving it to the whole O-line.
No, because that
is weak. But it's a cop-out. No, I want to give it to O'Brien.
But you're right, though.
No, I want to give it to O'Brien, but I don't know how to prove that it's actually him. We're going to do it.
We'll see. O'Brien. We'll see. Yep. All right. I'm going to go Isaiah then. That's easy for me. So.
Nice.
All right. Dallas. Defense.
Hold on. We're not letting our guest pick? What the hell? Right.
I don't know.
What kind of guy are you?
We don't really. Sometimes we don't let our guest pick. So I don't know.
Wow. Alex, look at who we have.
Do you want to play this or not?
What? Did we just send some guy off the street?
He knows the team. Let him play.
Yeah, offensive player.
Hey, here's the thing. The great news is Dallas basically, when I was thinking about, you know, what is the key to the offensive side, it's the offensive line. Obviously, you want to say that. But it's the O'Brien matchup. I'd like to see, because I think you know, coaches are going to look at seeing where was the weak point last game. And I think they're going to say, all right, how do we start to overwhelm that right side of the ball? I think it's going to be a different game. O'Brien continues to get confidence. And I think if he can slow up Spencer Wagey, if he can slow up that side and maybe not have a couple false starts, I think he's going to have a big game. But it's controlling the ball. It's running the ball. It's that offensive line. But I think Mark's going to have a big game, though, in general. If we're going to look at stats, it's going to come back to Mark is going to have a big game.
Okay. Awesome. All right. I'll put you down, Alex, for Mark. All right. Sorry. All right. Dallas, who you got for defense?
I would like to see – I'm going to go something in the secondary there. I know it's stereotypical for me to pick a D lineman, but I'm going to go away from that. I want to pick Reese in his last game. Nope, I'm going to go Freeman because we've been talking about him. And I want to see, and you know what? I'm going to give him a pick six. Freeman's getting a pick six. Let's go.
All right, there you go. Another pick six. He's fast, by the way. That pick six is quick. Man. All right, Alex, I'll let you go on defense. Who are you choosing?
Well, Bach's going to probably have the biggest stat line is what I would say, but I think the safety position is going to be the difference makers in the game. Again, it's going to happen with they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to need to bring some guys into the box, but they're also going to try to do that play action. We need to have some safety help and being able to really make plays. So it's not going to end up in the stat line, but I'm just going to take the safety position is going to be the keys to the game.
All right. Chad, do you have anything to say to our guest about choosing a whole position?
Yeah, choosing a position.
We argue about this every week.
Hey, if you listen to post game radio, I pick the O&D line about every week, and it's just rotate.
As you should, they're the best athletes on the field.
We all know Reese Winkleman's the best athlete to come out of Marshall.
It is. I should probably change mine to Reese. I feel like such a.
Do you want him? We'll let you.
Nope, I'm gonna keep mine.
All right, Chad, what
I got to go with
Bach.
He's definitely a difference maker. We saw it in the last game. You know, he had some limited time the game before, and I was talking with someone today, was asking if, you know, maybe he just wasn't quite right or if he was knocking rust off or what. I think he was getting back into it, and it was obvious the last game he wasn't getting back into it no more. That dude's got a step that he's quick, man. He's really quick, and he makes a difference in that backfield.
Yep.
And I think he'll be a big factor.
All right.
In containing the run with Cam Miller. Sorry.
Cam Jones. Right. Yeah. No.
I'm sure Cam Jones could run the ball really well if he wanted to.
Yeah. You know, I'll take Reese, and he just had a birthday. I believe.
Yes.
I think 30 years
old. Allison will finally be happy.
Like, is he 40 now? Or?
I think he's 40.
Did you see that picture Allison posted? Reese is in fishing gear. He's either waiters. He's out fishing, drinking a Mick Golden. You know, an old man beer. It's just perfect. So it's pretty dang funny. And she wished, you know, my happy birthday at national championship and to get a job, I believe is what the post said.
Yeah, get a job.
Alex, I've joked for 2 years that I'm pretty sure I played with Reese. I don't remember, but it feels he's been around. We've been talking about him for so long.
Oh, gosh. So funny. All right, scores. I'm thinking 28-24. I'm thinking a close game, 28-24.
That's what I had.
That's about where I was, too.
Sorry, I feel like I can't keep that. So now I got to pull up average points and against for both teams here, trying to make a good prediction. Let's make it a little wider here. We're going to go 31-23, good guys. I don't know how you get the 23 points, but it's possible. That's what they're getting.
All right, Alex, you want to sit this one out or you want to choose?
I'm thinking I'm right on line with Dallas again. I think whoever can get to 30 is going to win. I don't know what the other score is going to be, but again, it comes back to what are they going to do to, you know, in this game? They're going to try to control the ball, but we also have seen both those teams try to throw it too. And if they start having success with that, it could get out of hand. Either way, SDSU could score a couple quick touchdowns. So I think whoever can get the 30 points will be in a good position.
Okay.
I'm seeing some Yankees streaking down the middle of the field on play action. I'm going to lose my mind. Oh, I can't wait for this. When do we get to leave? When is this?
I know. We have to get through one more blizzard. One more blizzard. Then we
One more blizzard and then 2 days. So, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, blizzard, Thursday, or Wednesday, Thursday. So,
yeah.
I hope you're not flying Southwest, fellas, because I'm rolling the dice.
Oh, it's good now, isn't it? It's good. All right. We've kept you longer than normal, but this was a hell of a time. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. I
appreciate it.
Appreciate it. It was fun. It was fun to talk football, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time for SDSU and the Jacks and Coach Stig and the team.
Yep.
Now, do you get to walk through the tailgate at all, or are you just straight to the stadium, straight business? What's your plan?
I'm going to have fun. It'll be, again, JFPA. Hopefully, we're going to have a meetup spot Saturday night, and then Sunday we're going to get to tailgate. And Tyler likes to do a little breakfast at a local restaurant, but I might have to forego that to come hang with the people is what I'm thinking, and then head in there. But we'll start our pregame 2 hours before, and hopefully at the end of it all, we'll get to hang out and be on the field and have some fun.
Nice. Well, I hope I get to meet you in person. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thanks, guys, for having me on. It's been fun.
Yeah, awesome. With that, we have our normal content throughout the week, a couple different blogs. B-Team's going to be on Tuesday. It sure sounds like Kyle and Stacker are getting together for a show at some point this week. So lots of content for your drive down to Frisco, hopefully. So, or your flight, whatever it is. And with that, go big, go blue.
Go Jacks, buddy.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to thank our title sponsors, Drake's Place of Bottle and Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro of Brookings. We would also like to thank our other sponsors, Dakota Iron Equipment of Sioux Falls, Shenanigans Sports Bar and Grill in Sioux Falls, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. And as always, go Jets!